And let's begin with prayer. Father, help us now as we open this book. Help us to understand and to not just understand with our heart or with our minds tonight, but also, Father, with our hearts, that it might be something that would be a part of our daily life, your word, that we would be able to do it and live it. And Father, that the benefits of following your word would be manifest in every life, every person that's in this room tonight. We ask these things through Jesus Christ. Amen. Right, I have no new subject or no new news tonight. Something that you guys have probably all heard many times is the biblical idea of self-denial. I'm going to speak on it, though it is fundamental to the Christian life, and there's nobody here who hasn't heard all about it six times. But I'm going to speak on it anyway, because as the Scripture says, we must deny ourselves. And in Luke chapter 9, specifically, we are told to deny ourselves and to take up the cross daily. Now, if you, 15 years ago or 6 months ago, got right with God, you came to a point in your life where you crucified the flesh. If you never crucified the flesh, you aren't saved, okay? But when you crucified the flesh, what you did was the first step of something that needed to be done every single day of your life until you see Christ. And so many times in the Christian life, we do those first steps when we get saved. We deny ourselves and we give up the world and we quit sin and so on and on. And we get comfortable in this new Christian life that we are living to the point that we actually forget all about denying ourselves. And it's almost like a foreign idea to us. It's not something we're working on because we're not fighting with what we believe is a life of sin anymore. We're living comfortably in what we believe is a Christian life. We should never get to that point. But let me suggest that tonight I believe that probably every single person that is sitting in this room is at that point. That's my guess. It's actually a matter of fact that we as Christians need constant watching, constant prayer, constant alertness, constantly keeping our lamps trimmed and burning to maintain the kind of spiritual life that we must have to serve God according to His will. But especially in a time when Christianity is void of much life at all, and we're in a state of desperately needing revival. In a time like that, I can look out over the world, over the church that is in the world, not this church, but the church worldwide, this church included, and the lack of devotion and the lack of seriousness and the lack of the sense of eternal things is shocking. It doesn't seem like anybody has a clue what they're living for. And that is true here. And before you guys think for a minute that I am calling you guys up to my lifestyle, let me tell you, I'm sitting in the pews with you tonight. I spent a number of years struggling very hard with sin when I first got right with God. And I worked very hard on this idea of self-denial. I worked very hard on trying to purify my life. I searched myself all the time, constantly looking in my heart. I looked in the personal things that I own. I've sorted my stuff many times, looked through it. Do I have anything here that God disapproves of? Do I have anything here that just has no bearing on eternity? Do I have anything that's just junk? I sorted through my heart, I sorted through my life, I sorted through everything and tried hard to make sure that God was my focus. But now I'm comfortable. Now I'm comfortable and busy besides. A wife and 17 kids, and well, at least it seems that way, and two full-time jobs and whatever you want to say. I'm just busy and I don't work. I don't think about those things like I used to. And honestly, there's a number of things that I'll talk about. Three things at the end here. Three things that put us in a position to compromise self-denial. And some of those things are just true in my life. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Let's look at a few verses here, some of the words of Christ. Verse 21 says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" All right, in this story, Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to die. The elders and the chief priests, the scribes, the head people at Jerusalem are going to take him and kill him. And he's explaining this to the disciples, but the disciples, Peter specifically, says, "No way, that's not going to happen." I think Peter probably figured that they had a way to escape it. He said, "If this is what they're going to do to you in Jerusalem, let's get to the other side of the world. I mean, we don't have to stay here and let them do this." Whatever, he had his reasons. But Jesus, after rebuking him, turns to the disciples and says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." This verse here is what my dad always called the first principle of the gospel. If anybody is going to be saved, it is a matter of fact that salvation is never offered in the scriptures to somebody who will not repent of their sins. If salvation was available to people without repentance, the entire world would be saved tonight. Because the fact of the matter is, Jesus died for all of them. And the reason that all of them are not saved is because they have refused the Christ that died for them. Jesus would never have withheld salvation from anybody if it was not dependent on them to accept it. So this here, "If any man will come after me," that is, if you're going to follow Jesus, Let him deny himself. Now, I want to rephrase this, deny himself, in the terms that we are very familiar with, the way that we always use this, self-denial. And what I want to look at those two words, self-denial. First, the word denial. Denying yourself in many Christians' lives goes something like this. All things whatsoever I want to do that are not scriptural or that God does not approve of, I have to find a reason that I can make God approve of it so I can do it. Because I know that all the things that God disapproves of, I can't do. Now I have a problem here with my life, because here's a list of things that I want to do that God says no about. Now, since I don't like saying no to myself, and God seems to be saying no to myself, I need to somehow get this list transferred over here and onto another paper of things that God says are okay. So let's say we've got this little thing in my life that, well, I think that it's maybe of the flesh and it's worldly. And I feel like God is saying that I can't do it. So let's get it off this list, bring it to the workshop, and we're going to repaint it. After we repaint it, we are going to frost it with Christian chocolate frosting. Then we're going to tack a couple Bible verses to the face of it. Now we're going to stick it over here on this list. Now I can do it. That is the extent of some people's knowledge of self-denial. I will deny myself anything that God doesn't want me to do, but I'm going to end up doing everything that I want to do. I'm just going to give it a Christian connotation. Okay? Now, if that is your life of self-denial, I can probably tell you, you do not know Christ. But the person who does whatever they want to do under the auspices of a Christian name and us are not always just so very different. Because, well, we might look down on a person who had that philosophy in life. We do those things all the time. It's just not the only thing we do. You know, we have rejected huge lists of things that we don't do, but we still pick our few pet things that are a little bit cleaner. The things that, you know, we maybe it's interesting. I wonder why my parents don't think I should do this. And it's funny that my pastor doesn't think that I should do this. And a lot of my Christian friends are opposed to this, and I can't see their point. This is something that I see as vital godliness. Why do I see this as vital godliness and all my friends don't? Because I just did what this other person I was just describing did, where I took something that I wanted to do, I refused to deny myself, and I put a Christian name on it. That's why. Now it is possible for you to be a person that has a set of parents, that has a pastor, and that has a whole bunch of Christian friends who all believe that something is wrong that's actually right. Okay? That is possible. I can tell you something right now. In the United States of America today, that is almost as unlikely as another virgin birth. All right, so denial, the very word denial or deny means that there are things that I want to do that I am refusing to do. All right? That is the very nature of the word. If you do not, on a daily basis, have things that the flesh says I want and you, through the Spirit of God, say no to, you are not denying yourself. That is the very nature of the Word. If you wake up in the morning and everything that you want to do, you do. And the things that present themselves to you as fun, you do. And the things that sound good to you, you do. You're living for the flesh. And the Bible says if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you do through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. So, deny means that we are not doing things that the flesh wants. But it gets worse when we look at the other word. Because the other word is deny himself, or self-denial. In other words, this is a denial that you do to yourself. This is not something that's illegal, and so therefore you know better than to do it because you don't want to end up in prison. This is not something that your church elders say you cannot do, and if you do, we're taking your head off. This is not something that your parents have forbidden you to do on threat of a thrashing with a horse whip. This is not something that, if you do, you would lose all your friends, and therefore, you know better. This is something that you, of your own choice, without anybody forcing you, do to yourself. Okay? If you do not have that simple aspect of self-denial, your Christian life is worthless. You are going to live a junky, trash Christian life. You are going to end up, well, let me tell you, it's probably going to turn out different for different people depending on who their associations are. But it's most likely never, ever going to end good. There was a time, let me give you a story, okay? This is a bad story. There was a time in my life when I was young, in my young 20s, and I was towing. One time I got in a car that I was supposed to pick up, and this dude had a little mini calendar in the car of girls, okay? Totally naked girls, nothing on. Now I want to tell you, first of all, I was there by myself. There's nobody with me. If I touched that calendar, my parents wouldn't yell at me. My friends wouldn't think badly of me. My pastor wouldn't chew me out. My boss wouldn't know anything about it. Nothing on the face of the earth would keep my hands off that calendar, except myself. I had to say, this is garbage, leave it alone. That's what self-denial is. Now, the fact of the matter is, in many cases, we as Christians sin, do things we should not do, and that's what I did. I didn't deny myself. I grabbed it and I looked at it. You could have been there if you had wanted to, and you could have given me reasons why I shouldn't have touched it. And I could have given you reasons when I did, faster, twice the speed of your reasons why I should. Because you see, every time that we commit sin, virtually every time that we as Christians commit sin, we do not do it knowing that we are doing wrong. We justify what we are doing.
We take it off the list, the bad list, and we put it on the good list. We find a reason. It could be, it can be the stupidest reason on the face of the earth why you should be doing what you are doing. But nevertheless, we transfer it onto the list because we don't want to deny ourselves. Self-denial is something that you are going to carry with you into the most secret places that you go on earth. It's going to be something you are going to exercise when only God is seeing. If you don't have that kind of self-denial, your Christian life is fixing for trouble. You know, the fact of the matter is, there are very, very serious consequences to a Christian life where we do not have self-denial. And we can look at individual things where we don't deny ourselves. We can look at individual things and justify them. But problems come from individual things. Problems multiply. And when a thing begins to multiply, multiplication happens at a rate that is absolutely insane once you get into the higher numbers. It takes you a little while to get into those higher numbers. But once you're there, there is no stopping it. You can crush out every single grain of sense that a human being has in a week's time once the person is turning. Okay, we're facing God right here. Now, we turn away with one thing in our life, and we're mostly living for God, but this one thing we're going to do for ourselves. But that one thing leads us to another thing over here. And we can look like a Christian until all of a sudden a life can swing just like this, completely around the other direction. A person who was serving God, we all know them. Everybody in this room knows stories of somebody who was serving God fervently, and all of a sudden, goodbye God, goodbye church, goodbye friends, goodbye wife, goodbye family, I'm on to something different. Nobody ever makes a change in life like that. Okay? That change took place little by little by little when the guy was over here serving God, when only he knew what he was doing. That's where the change took place. Denying yourself is something that is to be done by yourself. The Christian life, because specifically, it is a life that every single individual chooses to live. Nobody is born into Christianity. Nobody is converted, as some people teach, when they don't even know Christ, and when they haven't given their heart to Him or anything. Nobody is converted like that. The Christian life happens to a person when they personally choose Christ. Okay? Now you can explain that however you want, and you can put all the merit on Christ. Don't give any Christian unnecessary merit for choosing to serve Christ. I don't approve of that. Nevertheless, a Christian life begins when you personally choose to serve Christ. Everything that is done in the Christian life is done when you personally choose to do it. Because there is no policing in Christianity. There isn't anybody in Christianity who comes to you and requires this of you. You volunteer to serve Christ. You volunteer to get baptized. You volunteer to join the church. You volunteer to keep the commands of Christ. And if at any time your church gets too tough for you, it's easy to find another church. And if there was no church on the face of the earth good enough for you, you can go home and sit on your couch and you can have church just with God. Okay? That is the Christian life. The Christian life is voluntary. There is nobody forcing Christianity. According to the biblical understanding of Christianity, nobody forces it. It is voluntary. The preacher can preach the Word of God. You can read the Bible. You can read other books. You can gain understanding of things that God wants you to do. But at the end of the day, you have to choose to do it. And you have to choose today, tomorrow, the next day, and on and on and on and on and on. As long as you live, you have to continue choosing to do the things that are right. It would almost be easy or better, it seems, if somebody somewhere could put a little bit of restriction on people, because we all seem to need it. But this is not Christianity. We can, if we want to be a very strict church, we can have a rule book that everybody has to read and sign and submit to. But the fact of the matter is, at any moment of your life, with the rule book in your hand, you can set it down, walk out the door of the church, and do anything you want to do. Christianity is voluntary. It is something you are going to choose to do. So that is what self-denial is. Now let's go to Titus chapter 2. Verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. All right, so what are we supposed to deny? Ungodliness and worldly lusts. Ungodliness could simply be categorized as anything that is unclean. Anything that's dirty, anything that is morally wrong, stealing, lying, fornication. The basic elements of mistreatment of human beings can be categorized as ungodliness. What are worldly lusts? All right, worldly lusts. 1 John chapter 2. Verse
verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the world, is not of the Father, rather, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So worldly lusts here in 1 John, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We have two things here that are listed as worldly lusts. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Okay, that's two different categories, basically. The things that I want in the flesh and the things that I want with my eyes. The things that appeal to the flesh, the things that appeal to the eye. The things that make me feel good physically and the things that make me feel good emotionally. It would take a couple of evenings to go through in great detail and explain again what we've been taught over and over again. The difference between living in the world, using the things in the world for God, or living in the world, using the things of the world for me. We cannot go into that story tonight. But tonight, we understand that the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye are the things that appeal to me personally as a person, not including what God told me to be or what God asked me to do. Right? We've already got all the things that God asked of us covered. Okay, so God says we should eat meat, and get married. And some Christians have taken it upon themselves to say we should not eat meat and we should not get married. And God says anybody who's teaching that is teaching doctrines of devils. So is getting married and eating meat the lust of the flesh? No. Not under the auspices of God telling you to do it. But it may be. Because let's say, for example, I'm this big now, all right? I just had supper, and somebody walks into my house with a cake. Now I'm going to eat. Okay, eating is not sin, the cake is not sin, especially if it came from Whole Foods or Golden Harvest. All right? Should I eat? Well, actually, it probably would be sin for me to eat because I have no use for it and it's going to hurt me because I'm already beyond the point that I should be putting a bite of food into my mouth. But you know what? I'll tell you something about me right now, okay? This big guy that I am. I didn't get here by eating when I was overweight. Okay? I got here by choosing to eat that cake when I didn't eat it when I was skinny like this. Just because you aren't overweight doesn't mean there's never a time it's not wrong to eat. There is such a thing as the lust of the flesh, even in simple things like eating food. Anyone here drink coffee? Okay, you know, I know some of you guys do drink coffee, all right? It's all right if you do. But you know what? Many times, coffee drinkers end up addicted to coffee in the very same way that smokers get addicted to cigarettes. If you are that kind of a person, you have succumbed to the lusts of the flesh. That's not what God gave you coffee for.
If you are not that kind of a person, do you know when you will be that kind of a person? How do you know when you are going to go from being the kind of a person who drinks coffee because it's good food that God made for you, to being the kind of a person who has given in to the lusts of the flesh because you crave the things of this world, you're living for the things of this world, and you just want to? How do you know when you cross that line? Let me give you a hint. Self-denial is not something that we generally do about a specific thing, unless we have a very specific reason connected with that specific thing. Generally speaking, self-denial is a lifestyle. And I want to encourage every person in this room to go home tonight. Unless you've just done this to yourself in the last 6 months, I want to encourage every person to go home tonight and think for a little bit about what we talked about tonight. And find something in your life that you feel particularly is your weakness. And determine to do less of it. Because self-denial comes in stages. And guys, when we start down on level one with the little things like drinking coffee or sitting down at the computer, you know what? One of these days, the church is going to wake up and realize that Christianity today in modern America is drunk with electronics in the same way that people get drunk on alcohol. That is a fact. The young people of the United States of America today, right now, are drunk with electronics to the point that they are absolutely insane, unable to cope with life, and worthless. Drunk. Computers and cell phones, especially, absolutely dominate their life, control them. You know, the fact of the matter is, you as a person are going to, one day the Bible says, give an account to God for the things done in the body. As a Christian, you have no business picking up your cell phone and doing anything with it that is not to purpose. Something that supports the life of a Christian living for God. You have no more right picking up your cell phone and doing anything for the lust of the flesh with that, any more than a man has committing adultery with a woman who is not his wife. All right? The lusts of the flesh are wrong. They're always wrong. Now, I don't think that we have anybody, and I'm not trying to say there's anybody in this church that's drunk with cell phones. But how will you know when you cross the line? How will you know? I'm telling you, if we start with the little things in life, if we start when we see, when we feel ourselves being attracted to something, when we feel ourselves wasting time on something, when we feel like we're bored, and so what do you do every time you're bored? Do you notice a pattern in your life? If you're bored, do you go to the refrigerator? Or if you're bored, do you sit down at the computer? Or if you're bored, do you pick up the telephone? Or do you grab your cell phone? Or what do you do when you're feeling bored, when you've got 5 minutes to spend? I wish there were a bunch of people sitting out here tonight that would say, every time I feel like I have nothing to do, I grab my Bible or I go pray. But you know what? I can probably just about guarantee you there isn't a single person sitting in this room tonight that could say that. I bet you don't. Because other things, somehow the things of the flesh, seem to call louder to us than the things of the Spirit. You can change that for your life personally. You can change that by yielding and yielding and yielding and yielding and yielding and yielding to the things of the Spirit. You build what we call character. All right? Character is absolutely necessary in the Christian life. You will not make it to heaven without it. You get that character through Christ. You don't get that character through the flesh. Don't try it. But you get that character through yielding to the Spirit and making choices. Self-denial leads to self-denial, which leads to self-denial, which leads to self-denial, which leads to self-denial, and self-indulgence does exactly the same thing. When you decide, oh, today, you know, I'm very discouraged. I am feeling down. Everything's wrong. It's winter and the sun's not shining. If I sat down right now and read my Bible, I wouldn't get anything out of it anyway because I am just too blue. But I can sit down with my computer and play a game for a minute and relax my mind. And you know how we need that. But what I'm telling you is, I'm not going to say that that is absolutely sin. But what I'm telling you is, you do that, it will lead you to do it again and again and in another thing and in another thing and in another thing. And you become a lazy, self-indulgent person who isn't living for the things of God. That's what happens. Self-denial does exactly the same thing to you in the opposite direction. Start with the little things that you see in your life. When you feel a double call, it's time to start. You guys all have that. Every one of you feels a double call all over in your life on a daily basis. You feel two things calling to you. Some of you guys ride around in a vehicle, and you know that the radio is full of garbage. It's got junk on it. And it's not going to do you any spiritual good to turn it on, but you're bored. Now, you reason like this. I don't listen to the radio because I like the filth that's on there. But it's been a long time since I've heard the news, and I think I'm going to catch up on a couple things. All right? Is it sin to catch up on the news? Of course. No, just kidding. It may be. It's hard to say. It depends on what you're doing and why you want to. But the fact of the matter is, it may not be. But you know, if you're serious about serving God, when you're riding around in the car and you're feeling bored, and your fingers feel like touching that switch on the radio, you probably have in your heart, in your brain, somewhere in your being, at the time that you think that thought, you probably have God say something to you. And he probably says, talk to me for a little while, or something like that. And you have to make a choice. I know you guys have heard that. When you hear that double call, don't ever yield to the thing that would be on the side of the flesh. Don't yield, because it will make you weak. So the three things that I believe are some of the three top reasons why Christians yield to the things of the flesh, just in little things that they think are good. When they feel like there's a higher calling in life, are because you're bored, you're very curious, or you are discouraged. I've never done this before. I'm curious about this. I've never seen this before. I don't know what's on these movies. My friends are watching them and say they're good. And you know, I'm not about to go watching movies that are bad just for pleasure, but I'll check them out. Maybe they're better than I think. I'll check them out. Curiosity. Now, the fact of the matter is, it isn't necessarily always wrong for a person to do something like that. If you're a spiritual leader to the young people in your church, and you know they're all watching this movie and you want to see it because you want to see what they are into and be able to talk to them about what's in that movie and tell them that it's wrong and so on, you may have a good reason to watch that movie. But that's not really in the category of curiosity. That's in the category of hard work. The category of curiosity is when we're playing. I don't know what's here. Years ago, I towed for a couple of years, and I was in the truck a lot. And I never listened to the radio because I thought it was good. But I listened to it a bit because I was curious about what was there. I listened to some Christian stations and I listened to some secular stations. I wanted to see what was there. Let me tell you what I found out. I found out that I had no ability to discern what was there in that state. But it took me about a year and a half to figure that out. Because a year and a half later, I looked into my life and I said, my standards and morals have been corrupted and I can see where it came from. There isn't anything worth listening to on the radio. It's just garbage. I would rather, if you had to listen to the radio to save your life from falling asleep at night, I would rather that you turned a secular station on than a Christian station, because the Christian stations out there are worse. The Christian stations that you can get here in Wisconsin are filthy, absolutely filthy, because they, in the name of Jesus Christ, are pouring out garbage. What's on those stations is not of God. If you're listening to the secular station, you at least know you're listening to the ungodly, and you're there to judge maybe what they say. Deny yourself. You're the only person in the vehicle now. Nobody else is sitting there judging you for what you're hearing. Nobody else can hear what station you tuned the radio to. Nobody else knows if you laughed when something wasn't funny. You personally have to deny yourself. It's your choice. When you're sitting on the computer and you're the only person in the room, you personally have to deny yourself. You have to make the choice to do what is right. You have to make the choice to know, not only when you're doing something clean, to get off the computer because you're wasting your time and go get out your Bible and sit down and do something that's going to count for eternity. You have to make that choice because nobody else is going to do it for you. And if you as a person, if you as a human being, do not make choices to deny yourself ungodliness and worldly lust. If you don't make those choices habitually on little things, I'm telling you, it will be the ruin, the complete ruin of your Christian life. You will, at the very best, end up going to heaven. So as by fire, but your works burnt up. That's the very best you can expect to get if you don't know how to deny yourself. Self-denial is an absolutely excellent quality because it actually gets people forward in life in every aspect. You will never be successful as a person if you are lazy. If you can't say no to yourself for something you want because of something you ought to do, you will never go forward in life.
Let's talk for a minute about discouragement, because I think this is one of the biggest things, probably right here in this church, one of the biggest reasons that we don't deny ourselves. Because we don't feel good. We're sad. Do you know, in the scriptures, in Hebrews, God deals with the subject of discouragement. He says, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. If you are discouraged, you are in a most dangerous place for the devil to get a foothold in your life. Why are you discouraged? If you are discouraged, you already, by the fact that you are discouraged, are showing to yourself that your faith in God is weak. What should we do as a Christian if we have weak faith? Try to strengthen it by spending time with God, maybe. But that's the exact thing that we don't want to do when we are discouraged. Because we're tired. Every person in this room knows what I'm talking about. When you are discouraged, you're worn out. You're physically and mentally worn out. You're unable to process things with your brain, and your body doesn't feel like working. It's time to go to bed or sit down and have fun or perhaps just go to the couch to cry. But work is not really the thing that makes the most sense. But what does the Bible say? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So, right now I want to go to sleep. Or right now I want to go do something worthless. Or right now, even though I'm not hungry at all, I just want to eat. It falls right into the category of self-denial. You say no to those things that you want to do, and you go do what you ought to do. If anybody here has trouble with boredom, you come and see me, because I can fix that one for you. That's the easiest one on the list to fix. If you are bored, I can fix it. There is a great plenty of stuff to do. I can give you a list that will make you weary reading. But many times boredom is also a reason that we yield to the flesh. Because I have nothing to do, I do whatever presents itself to me. There are many young people that are sitting in this room tonight. And someday, if Jesus tarries, doesn't return, and if you don't die young for some reason, someday you're going to be an old person looking back on your life. A lot of things are going to transpire between then and now. There's a very rare time that a Christian gets to the end of their life and looks back with satisfaction on what they did. It's very rare. Most of the time when people get to the end of their life and they look back, they regret and regret and regret and regret. Why did I not be stricter with my kids? Why did I not love my husband more? Why did I not do more in the church?
Why? All these things are wrong, and you feel responsibility for so many of them that are directly connected to you. And now, right now, you guys have the opportunity to try to cultivate the character in your life that will prevent you from yielding to the flesh when you should be working at the things of the Spirit. Right now, you have that time in your life to cultivate that character. If you fail right now to do what you should be doing, you're going to be one of those people at the end of your life looking back on your life, wishing you had lived differently. So denying yourself now is something that is absolutely essential to the Christian life. And it is something that only you can do. Only you. It's going to be something that in order for you to do it in the correct manner, you probably have lists and lists of things in your life, perhaps, that you should be working on that you're not because you think they're right. But when you start with the things that you know, knowledge increases. You never gain knowledge when you're running from facts. But you gain knowledge when you're dealing with the problem. You learn. It's called experience. And you, when you start denying yourself the little things that you can see right now, you gain character, you'll gain sense, you'll gain understanding, you'll gain spiritual maturity, and you grow. That growth is extremely important in your Christian life. You need that growth. One of the things that discourages me sometimes, and I know I should just preach against discouragement, but I do get discouraged sometimes watching Christian young people. And I talk to them, you know, this and this thing in your life. Why are you living for this? Why are you living this way? Why do you do this? Why do you believe this? And you know, the biggest response that I ever get when I'm trying to help a person forward in their spiritual life is disagreement. I don't see your point. I think that what I'm doing is the right thing. I think that it's okay to have fun in this. We always are doing what we think we should be doing. But the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Just because you think that what you're doing is right doesn't mean it's right. And you may, if you've had a habit of yielding to the flesh, you may not have the sense in your head to be able to understand properly what is right and what is wrong. This is where we start. We start down at the level, down at the bottom level of just building character. The ability in ourselves to say no to ourselves about anything at any time for any reason. You need that. The ability to say no to yourself about anything at any time for any reason. If you don't have that ability, your Christian life is going to mess up. You need that ability. Exercise the ability if you have it. Put it to use, okay? Put it to use. Because if you put it to use, you'll strengthen the ability, gain maturity and understanding, and it is in that way that you will become not only a proper leader of your own life, but you can be a leader in your home, you can help your wife, your husband, your children, and you can ultimately become a spiritual leader in the world, good to the salvation of souls and the leadership of newly converted people, and the list goes on and on. All right, let's dismiss.